Blog Talk Radio.
Show for you tonight with Hector Lugo. And I'm sure some of you have experienced or know somebody who has experienced some of the stories that he's about to tell us. And we will open up the lines midway in the show. Hector is going to talk to you. First of all, he's the co-founder of the 10th Dimension Paranormal Group in Missouri. And fascinating. They investigate ghosts, spirits, and other entities. And, of course, they bring back the evidence to the client, such as pictures and videos or audio. So some of you might have had an experience, or seen a ghost or a spirit or felt one, you know, go by, like a cold energy of a spirit. And so Hector will take your calls midway in the show. The show is 30 minutes, so I'll be looking at the clock for you. So, Hector Lugo, are you on the line? Hello? See, now this can't be again, Hector, huh? Let's see. Hello? Hold on, everyone. I can't believe this could be another problem with Walter. Can't believe it. Really can't. He has three groups. One is in Missouri, as we said. The other is in Oklahoma, and the other is in Florida. Are you there, Hector? That's what I heard. Click.
Hold on. Yeah. Okay. Carol, I'm trying to. It keeps dropping a call here. So every time I try to put it in the air, the call drops. So, hold on. Hopefully
we'll
call
try
back
again, Hector. Yeah, keep on trying. We have problems with blog talk from time to time. Just keep on calling. The number to reach Hector is 323-792-3026. Midway in the show, if you have any stories or anything that you would like to ask him. Is he on now, Pam, or?
No, I don't see it. It's an 816 area code, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, waiting for Hector to call back.
Okay. Let's go, Hector. You're on the air.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, Hector.
Hello?
How are you? Good, you're on the air,
can
Hector.
You hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. I was wondering if I could get through there or not. How y'all doing?
Yeah. Good. Thank you, Hector. Thank you. Pam is on the line as well. Why don't you start off by saying, what is the 10th Dimension Paranormal Group? What is it?
Well, the 10th Dimension Paranormal
Hector, can you talk a little? Yeah, what phone are you on, Hector? Can you move your move in another spot? You're coming across muffled. Try again.
It looks like the call was dropped again.
Oh, my goodness. He might be in, because his voice was kind of muffled. Man, maybe he's in an area that's not the best, the most conducive, you know, to talk, actually. But
right.
Hopefully he's moving around now and he'll find a spot, you know, that is conducive. So keep on trying, Hector, because I'm sure the listeners are anxious to hear you. Hello, Hector.
No, he's not there yet.
Okay. It's interesting, Pam, what he brings back, you know, with the clients, the pictures, actual pictures, videos, audio.
Wait, here he is. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, much better, Hector. Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, I had to move out. I was in the office there.
Okay. What is the 10th dimension paranormal group, Hector? What? Give us some insight into what it is, what it does, and all of that.
Well, the 10th dimension is a very unique group of individuals. We have like 8 in our Kansas City branch. And what we do is we investigate different locations, whether it be a house, a museum, a castle. It doesn't matter. Wherever the people think they have paranormal activity, they'll contact us and we'll get with them and we'll come out and we'll try to find out what's going on. Either just let them know that there's activity there or not. And then if they do have some, depending on what kind of activity it is, we would do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we cleanse it out. Sometimes we get them to communicate with the spirits. A lot of times we just go in and confirm that they do have entities and that it might be an ancestor of theirs. Depends on what the client actually wants. We try to satisfy
mm-hmm.
them. We've been doing this
mm-hmm.
for well over 10 years, this particular group. But my first group was actually 1972 in college. And,
wow.
So I've been doing it for quite a while, and this 10th Dimension group is just an incredible group. I mean, we've done some incredible cases, and it just keeps getting better and better for us.
What are some of the cases that you'd like to share with us?
Well, there's actually the Kingsville case that we're doing. Actually, we're getting ready to do another special on that. Another TV network decided to pick up on and do another sequel on it. That was actually a shapeshifter, where an actual spiritual entity,
mm-hmm.
Indian entity, had decided to take over the house and was physically abusing and, I mean, doing everything you can imagine this entity was doing. Plus, he
mm-hmm.
was not only doing it to the people, but he was doing it to the animals. And he was just, it's one of the meanest things we've ever come across, I think, in the last 10, 15 years. And it took us 2 years, but our persistence paid off, and the people that called us actually had left and called us from Texas. That's how
mm-hmm.
bad it was. They had moved out. And after 2 years, they moved back in like nothing ever happened. We were pretty happy about the results for that particular case.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And how do you confirm that there is a spirit in the space to begin with?
Excuse me?
How do you confirm that there is a spirit in the space when you walk in?
Well, there's quite a few ways that we do it. We'd like to use both the scientific and the psychic part, abstract, that we call intuitive. We have 3 people that we utilize that are very, very good. They do a lot
mm-hmm.
of cold cases for the police departments in the area. And what we do is we go into, let's give you an example. We go into a house for the first time. These people know nothing about what the case is about. They know nothing other than we're going to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
We walk in, what I do is I give each piece of paper with a pencil, and I assign them a photographer or somebody to carry a digital recorder, and they walk through the whole location. And they come back and they hand me the piece of paper with all the information they gathered while they were on their tour. Then I send a second
mm-hmm.
one, a third one, and when we're done, we compare the 3, and we 10 things we could put down, we pick the top the ones that they hit on real good, and that's what we'll focus on. We also mm-hmm. go up with equipment, and we also try to confirm what they found. We have mm-hmm. our own equipment that was designed, so we can actually get spirits to communicate with us by utilizing this equipment. An example is we have a little black box, and it sounds, and it's red light, green light, red for yes, green for no. And we have to ask mm-hmm. only yes or no questions, but it's like an electronic Ouija board, and we utilize that to gather information. We've gotten some incredible information where we've actually had like a museum confirm some of the findings that we found, and they didn't have it on their books, and that came straight from the spirit, like they have different names, like the Civil War Museum. We found about five or six soldiers that they had left out. We had to go to another location to confirm, and they did. Mm-hmm. So we do communicate with the spirits, and we get the best thing is confirmation, especially when you're doing a cold case and the police say, wow, don't let you read our report. It's still mm-hmm. accurate. But, you know, and we don't charge. We really don't think that this is all about money. Mm-hmm. We've never charged anybody for anything we do. We just go out and enjoy. We have questions. And the only way to get answers is to go out there and try to obtain those answers. And the best way is through the horse's mouth, and that's through the spirits. And that's mm-hmm. how we communicate, and that's what we look for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say all of them are good. I mean, we've run into some bad ones, but most, I think 90% of the time, it's a really good encounter.
They could? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, can some spirits be quiet, meaning that you don't really hear any or see or feel any energy from them?
You know, it's amazing because it's the way we explain it to the client, the customers. We walk in there the first time, and it's like having a little chihuahua in the corner. You know how aggressive mm-hmm. those little things can be. They'll bark, mm-hmm. act like they're 10 feet tall and attacking all that. Next time you come, they'll bark, and they'll stand in the corner. Next time they'll wag their tail and let you in, and you can pet them. But that's how mm-hmm. some spirits are. When you walk in, they're going to be very aggressive. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I will walk in with a recorder on my shoulder because in the first 5 minutes when I go in to speak to them, it's generally when they will be the most forceful or the most contest, you know, they'll challenge you right away. Like, what are you doing here? What is it, you know? We get some good EVPs that way. And also when we set up equipment, how they're trying to tell us how to do it, you know, which is pretty cool. We try to communicate with them, and, you know, we let the client decide. We get their evidence. I mean, we're talking about doctors, nurses, law enforcement attorneys in our group. But we have nothing to gain by falsifying information. What you get is what we get, so we present it, and you tell us what you think it is, and, you know, and we'll take it from there. And some cases are pretty obvious that there's no, you know, doubt about it. You have a spirit identity in here that's creating havoc, and we'll address that issue and we'll deal with it, whatever cleansing they want.
Wow. And sometimes I read on the website it could take several years.
Yes, you know, it's kind of things. I've been doing this for so long, and over the years, and I've talked to entities, and not to say that they give me all the answers correctly, but there's no time on their side like ours. Time is man-made. Oh. So when we go in there, some people say, this spirit will haunt and make all this noise. It'll bring, you know, ring the doorbell, slam the drawers, whatever. They don't stop for like 2 or 3 weeks, and they'll pick up again. And they don't understand it. Well, the time is different for them. That entity will go into the corner or wherever it's hiding and sit there, and they're kind of like, you know, just like going into like a dormant state for a few, what they think is 2 seconds or minutes, when actually it's 3 or 4 weeks or days. When it wakes up, to them, it's like, well, let me finish what I started. And you don't know what's going to happen. You know, so for that reason, we're very, you know, careful when we go in. Sometimes we'll go into the house and, okay, nothing like they claim. I mean, we'll pick up some stuff and we'll say, well, it's on right now. It's a good chance for us to find out what's going on. So we take that opportunity to do a lot of research and walk around the grounds and see if it is the grounds or if it's the people or if it's something they brought in, an antique piece of equipment or furniture. We try to go through the cross elimination, try to figure out what is causing the activity in your particular location.
How much are the spirits affected by the ground, by the earth underneath, you know?
You know, a lot more than people think. We've gone into houses that are brand new, 2, 3, years old, and I'm talking about mansions. We're talking about multi-million-dollar homes. And, I mean, it's like, that's brand new. There's no way there can be a spirit in here. Well, it's not the house. It's the grounds. And if they build it, like the last month, we went to three different locations in like a week and a half, and they were all on Indian grounds in Kansas. And it's funny because all the streets were like Cheyenne Drive, Delaware Avenue, you know, Apache Road, you know, things like that. Yeah. Well, it's pretty obvious where you were at. So, you know, you talk to the clients and you explain to them, well, we're, us being Indians, ancestors, we know how to deal with that. So first thing we do is we go up and we make our offerings to the location. We go to take our Indian tobacco, we go up to the nearest tallest tree or bush and we make our offering and we go in and we talk to the spirits and explain to them. We do the red road, we do the four corners, you know, we do what we need to do. And that's the grounds. Now, there's other locations where it's not the grounds. It's just people actually being followed.
I'm sorry. So you said it, sometimes it's not the grounds. It's in the home.
Right. It's sometimes it's just a good example is a case we just finished this past weekend. The girl had heart problems. They had to do bypass, and she was being things start happening in the house and stuff. She's like, ghosts here. I know there is, and planes that push her and stuff like that. And she's a young girl. She's about 35 years old. She's young, having that heart problem. But it turns out it was a relative of hers, an ancestor, that was letting her know that he was there for her. And, you know, we actually got the name and, you know, it was recorded. We actually speak into our recorder and it left the name. And we asked her, do you know this David guy? And, you know, I'm using the petition name so nobody can figure it out. But, the guy was ancestors her when she found out and figured it out. It's like, wow, he can stay. You know, it's all good. You know.
Wow. I mean,
there's different reasons for spirits to be in different locations, but mostly, yeah, you're right. It's the grounds or the people, and you know, sometimes it's just the location, the house itself. You got a house that's over 150 years old. A lot of things have happened, but you got to remember too that. Back in them days, when they had a funeral, they used to display the body sometimes in the living room. That was before the Civil War. Yeah, so some places have the maybe 8-9 generations of the family living in that house. So you're going to have a lot of activity. You know, when we go in there, there's surprise to find out. I mean, it's pretty obvious to them. That, you know, it's new, and they're really surprised to find out that, wow, all these things are going on, the past ancestors that one time or other, residing that home.
Wow, how interesting. Never thought of that. So, like, generations and generations of spirits.
Yeah. Actually, we've got a case that they call us in Kentucky that come into a farmhouse that was in the family for over 200 years. And they kind of figured it was, but they're looking at 7 or 8 different generations of spirits in that house, you know. And it wasn't harmful, it was just that. It was very intriguing to them, and they couldn't figure it out. Those are pretty interesting things.
Fascinating. Pam, do we have any questions from anybody? Is that okay, Hector?
Yeah, that's fine.
Right now, just listeners. But I find this discussion fascinating.
Do you have a question, Pam, yourself? Or?
I don't have a question. Sometimes the sound, Hector, is a little bit muffled. It kind of comes in and out. So,
can move. Just move a little. Yeah. Let's see him move a little.
And the question or whatever, what you want to know? Well, I'm trying to speak
actually, here. Actually, I do have a question, and that is, Hector, have you or your group have any experience with, like, shadow people, because we get that sometimes. We have an office here in Connecticut that's an old stone building and hasn't been recent, but from time to time we've observed, you know, a shadow. Well, the only thing I can is a shadow that comes and goes kind of where it the shadow with it's not an effect of the light. It's and it's almost here and gone before you even realize that there's anything odd about it. But it's a shadow that could not have been made by any physical object or light movement. And I would just like your comments or your thoughts on that phenomenon.
Yeah, you know, we've dealt with quite a few shadow people, and that's one of the most intriguing parts about investigating is because you see these shadows. We got them on video. We've got four or five videos, different videos of different shadow people doing things, running across the wall in the basement, or actually moving. The shadows are moving up above the wall, but the object in front of us, the ball, is actually moving by them, and they're like 10 feet from it. But they don't realize that the camera's picking all this up, and they're interacting with us. And whether it's a shadow person or is it an entity that's I'm a firm believer that just because you're a dark spirit or dark in nature doesn't mean you're negative, but that you're an older spirit and have more abilities. A lot of people are always asking about orbs, why they're different colors. I think that that's one of the reasons that they are different colors, because they haven't somehow been able to manipulate their energy that way, and they turn brighter or different shades of colors when they do. Shadow people, I think, actually entities where, I don't know where they come from, but I know that you can see a lot of my peripheral vision, and if they say that if you see them head on, that's not a good thing. Well, we've seen a few head on for years, and we've had no problems with them. I know they're there, and I know they're very interesting because where do they come from, and what are they from another dimension that they're able to come through the veil and interact? Do they go back to their dimension? It's just something that we've been doing research on for years, and we've been fortunate enough to get a few videos and quite a few encounters. We, like everybody else, it's hard to explain. I don't see how you can. You know, I have my theory about what they could be, but it's just a theory, and there's no way to prove it or disprove it. It's just shadow people are out there. That's all I can say, and they're very, very interesting, and they will interact with you.
Are they human? Do you think they're human, or are they something from another dimension?
Well, you know, that's one of the questions we have. Being that it's human, and I'm thinking that if it is human, it's interacting with us. If it was from another, say, planet or galaxy or alien, whatever they want to say, you'd think they would have no reason to interact with us. It would have all the abilities it needs already to do whatever it needs to do, unless it wants to make its presence known. I think that I'm leaning more towards shadow people are human. And they're just out there, and I don't know. I've never heard anybody get hurt by one. I've never seen one do anything malicious. I get more problems out of spirits that are just old spirits that have learned to manipulate and have decided that they want to throw off what they've got. The shadow people, I've never really had a problem. They are pretty cool to see on video, though, when you do capture them.
Wow. And have you any experience with places that are like portals for energy, for different kinds of energies?
Yeah, you know, that's it. We just, about 3-4 months ago, almost a couple months ago, we went to Boonville, Missouri, and there's a bed and breakfast place out there. And it's two of the people, 3 days before we went out there, they said that there's a big, big problem in this place, in this location. And she was actually having issues with one of the spirits long distance because they travel, you know, by speed of thought. So they were bickering back and forth, her and this particular entity. And somewhere along the line, she figured out where he was at. And when we got to the location, we went straight downstairs, and every piece of equipment we set up went off. And she started saying, "Hey, he's here, he's mean, this is what he's doing." And there's others around that are going in and out. So we figured there's a portal there. So what we had to do is go through the process. We have a process that we go through. And what we decided was we're going to close a porthole. But by closing it, we don't know who stays on this side, but we know no others can come in. So I said, we'll take that chance. We'll close it and deal with the ones on this side once we close it. And lucky for us, he was one of the ones that got stuck on this side. He didn't get a chance to go back to the porthole. So we got to deal with him directly, and she did most of the dealing with it. And he doesn't act as wild. He still acts up. He touches still. We got that on recording. He's telling us where to go all the time and what to do. But he's not as mean as he used to be, because we got him on this side. We're going to eventually have to go down and cross him over.
Wow.
Yeah, portholes we've dealt with. That's one location. We've done about two or three altogether. They're hard to find and hard to deal with. The simple fact is that not every location has a porthole. And you look for ley lines. You look on. I like to use the Google Map. A lot of National Geographic has layouts and things about it. You can look on Google and see the lay of the land and where the lines are, where there's magnetic pool and limestone and all that. And we try to make sure that the house or electrical wires that are real close, limestone. We look at things that we can go through the process of elimination, making sure that it's not something earthbound that's creating this energy, which people tend to think sometimes is a porthole. If we don't have that, none of that stuff around, then we start going through the process of trying to figure out what is going on and how we can deal with it. It's like opening and closing the door, basically.
Can people create portals themselves, or are they a phenomenon of the earth?
I think they're mostly of the earth. That's something I think comes from the other side of the veil. Now, I know the poltergeist activity is created by individuals, and I guess if you assume they can perform that activity, they can do other things also. The mind is it's an incredible thing. And once people figure out how they can utilize it and do things, it's possible. I guess you could, if you really had the mentality or the capabilities, you could possibly open up a porthole. I know that they can definitely do poltergeist activity. I don't run anybody that has. I mean, but I've run into people with poltergeist activity. That's done two or three cases like that. But as far as the porthole, I don't think so. I don't think we've run into anybody that had that capability that we are aware of.
I'm curious. Is there such a thing as a higher vibration of spirits, different vibration?
You know, that's interesting to bring that up. I know when I give lectures or talk to different locations and stuff, and I speak to a lot of clients and a lot of our members, mm-hmm. I explain to them the different vibration, because they want to know how they can become more intuitive and make more better contact with the entities that are around. And what I try to explain to them is, like, we have a radio, two radios in front of you. You're in radio channel 100. The spirit is in channel 800. Well, the spirit is going to vibrate. He's going to try to meet you. Let's say they want to meet at 400. But you have to activate your energy or your activity and enhance it and vibrate till you get to 400. Likewise with the spirit,
okay.
It will slow down so it can get to 400. Both of you can communicate in that particular area. Some people have the ability to go straight to it.
Right. Victor, we just got the beep. If you can give out your contact information, that would be great. I'm so sorry to want to interrupt you, but we just got the beep.
Yeah, anybody can contact me at, you know, I give out my phone number. It's 816-797-6577. Call me anytime. I get calls from all over the United States, Europe, you know, wanting to just chit-chat if anything, find out about particular activity they're having. You can go to the 10th Dimension Paranormal Group or our website. We're getting ready to improve it. We're going to add 2 years of cases next week that we've been finally got it all done. We'll add those to the, and there's some really good cases, and there's some really good video, EVPs, pictures, just some pretty neat cases that we've done over the years. I think the last year alone, the last 2 years, we've done close to 80 some cases.
Wow.
So we stay fairly, we stay really busy. It's just doing the cases and getting them on the website, you know.
Okay. So. Oh, that's great. Beautiful. Well, you know, we're so glad that you've been on. We hope to have you on again. And it was a little muffled, but hopefully, you know, it'll be a little clearer next time. But
yeah,
to get wonderful information, you know, Hector, we hope, you know, that you can be on real soon again, you know?
We'd love to do it anytime. Just let me know, and I'll see if I can get a better location, have a better connection.
Okay.
I just got this phone like three or four weeks ago. It's one of those Samsung 5s. But I am in the hospital, so we're a little surrounded with lead. And, you know, it is a bad place to make a long-distance call. So next time I'll make a point to get somewhere better, you know, no problem.
Okay. So. All right. Well, this is so interesting. Pam, you have any other questions before we get cut off? Or?
No, I think we're out of time. This is really fascinating, though. I do have a lot of questions, but we'll save it for next time.
Yeah, I'd be glad to answer any questions or anything, and I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to speak with you guys and let the public know that there's help to be had if they need it.
Okay. Thanks so very, very, very much. Thank you so much. This
you
is
Intuitive
Care. Oh, that's great. No, we're going to take you up on that. I'm sure you have a whole list of stories. No, it's great.
Oh, I've got plenty. I can keep you going for hours if you want it.
No, that's great. Terrific. Well, we're glad you joined us, everyone, and we hope you really enjoyed the show. It was fascinating, and we have so many more stories to tell you, and I'm sure he'll be on the show in the very near future. Good night, everyone.